Right, 1, 2, 3.
That is the sound of a 2-inch hailstone slamming into a slate roof at 110 miles per hour.
Oh my god. I was not expecting that. What happened to the ice?
This is the kind of fun they have inside FM Global's Natural Hazards Lab in Rhode Island. It's an insurance company, and research manager Lou Grizzo is the guy showing me this simulated hailstorm. We open the door to his hail launcher.
We have a hail launcher.
I just want a hail launcher.
To inspect the damage on a panel of roof tiles.
Wow, the ice is actually embedded between the shingles, the roof tiles. Wow.
And it, you know, it put a big dent in this slate roof. A lot of cracking around it. So obviously that's not going to work. That's going to have to be replaced.
The people working at this lab get to blow stuff up all in the name of gathering data to protect clients' property from a fire or a natural hazard and to certify commercial and industrial products.
Charging!
Here we go.
I'm going to call this next one the Hurricane Cannon.
We're going to use a 2x4 as a projectile. Could be a 2x4 is what the wind's picked up from a construction site or a house that hasn't fared very well. Could be a tree limb. And we're going to launch it out of this cannon directly at a wall.
Let's do it. I'm a little nervous.
The wall is covered with a half inch of plywood, the same kind of wood you'd use to cover a storefront in a Category 2 hurricane.
Firing in 3, 2, 1.
Ooh. Okay, the 2x4 just punched a huge hole in the plywood and then bounced right off.
So what we have behind this storefront is a solid wall so that 2x4 doesn't keep going and cause some damage. You think about Maria, Irma, Cat 4 moving at nominally, you know, 1.5, maybe even 2 times the speed. It's going to do a tremendous amount of damage.
Wow.
So what's the solution? We aim the cannon at another sheet of plywood, this one twice as thick.
Firing in 3, 2, 1.
Success! It didn't pierce.
This time, rather than just blasting right through that protection of that storefront, it just bounced right off. That's the ideal solution.
You mitigated the damage.
We stopped the damage in this case. There's no damage to that. Actually, using 2 half-inch pieces of plywood is better than 1 1-inch thick piece because the two pieces together kind of spread out the impact, and most of the time it won't break that window behind the plywood.
This test, inside a warehouse in the woods of Rhode Island, feels far away from the shores of the Gulf Coast. But at the start of another hurricane season, it also feels relevant. The wounds of Harvey, Irma, and Maria are still fresh.
Last year was a year of catastrophic losses in terms of economic impact. The 3 storms, over $300 billion of economic impact. It's the kind of thing that could happen every year.
That's because the climate is warming, and scientists say weather is getting more extreme. Storms, bigger and more powerful. Droughts are fueling wildfires. Oceans are rising. It is a reality that insurance companies are well aware of. After all, they have to pick up a big part of the bill.
Climate change is one of the things that makes it to the boardroom of global businesses. As a company that's goal is to protect the risks of those businesses, we do studies of climate change. We monitor climate science. The most important things now are extreme precipitation, the increase in flooding, and sea level rise.
Are you seeing that? I mean, we can talk about it academically, but on the ground as an insurance company, as a company that is dedicated to mitigating risk, are you seeing the effects of climate change already?
Well, FM Global is a fact-based insurance company. So when we focus on protecting against extreme precipitation, it's because we have good sound physics and data behind it. When we look at focusing on sea level rise and the impact, especially on coastal communities or shorelines specifically around the equator, because the sea level is not rising uniformly, we're basing that on measurements and a good sound understanding of why it's happening, not just a speculation of if it's happening. The one thing that businesses around the world are seeing is natural hazards are becoming more important. 183 years ago, when FM Global started by some mill owner in North Providence, Rhode Island, it was all about fire. Fire is still a big problem. Now, natural hazards every year are eating away at business value and causing more damage and more destruction to businesses, communities, and homes.
So what are we to do then? We think about wildfire, for instance, and the warnings that maybe we shouldn't build so close to the forest. We shouldn't build our homes or our businesses so close to the forest. We see sea level rise and the warnings that say maybe we shouldn't build so close to the ocean. But what is the solution in your mind as we face more of these natural hazards? How do we live with that risk?
So living with the risk is best dealt with if we acknowledge that there's those hazards up front before we build that facility, before we decide to move in and develop that area, and maybe build a little bit higher or maybe build a little bit further back from the coastline. That's the best case scenario. The challenge is all the stuff that's already out there. That's where we've got to come up with cost-effective ways to say, here is kind of what you can do. And then testing products like we saw at the Natural Hazards Lab today to say, if you're going to use something to reduce that risk, here's something that we've tested to make sure is going to perform as expected.
Now, I know you're talking on behalf of your company, but when you go home at night and when you are having trouble sleeping, what is it? What risk is keeping you up?
The big risk that keeps me awake at night is the potential for sea level rise around the coastlines to have broad economic impact throughout the global economic environment. The sea level rise in the Gulf Coast of Mexico, around the Gulf Coast of Mexico, is about 10 millimeters a year. That's three times what it is in New York or Boston. That's also a major hub for transport and economic well-being for the country, for the world. You take that kind of sea level rise around the Gulf Coast of the United States, and it's not just happening there. It's happening in East Asia, where there's a lot of economic development. It's happening along the coasts in Southern Europe. Those are the kinds of things that can sneak up, and that sea level rise combined with some really big storms can really start to produce a lot of damage. It's a tough thing because it's changing slowly. You wonder sometimes, are we doing enough?
The scale that you're talking about is huge. And it seems to me that building a gate on your front door or putting sandbags down or doing some of the things that you showed in the lab there are nowhere near enough to stop what it is that you're talking about.
Fortunately, the majority of things that cause property damage are not these big, huge storms. It's almost a death by a thousand cuts. If you look at flood, it's the most frequent natural hazard. And most of the time, it's a foot or 2 feet or 3 feet of water. It's not 8 or 9 or 10 feet of water most of the time. So the idea is to take care of the stuff that's easy and then work on the stuff that's harder. But if we don't take care of the things that are easier to do, then we have no chance at dealing with the bigger problem.
I want to do a little bit of a lightning round, okay? So I want to throw a term out there, and I want you to tell me just what comes to mind when you think about the risk, okay? Wildfires.
Drought.
Heat.
So when you said heat, my mind went to a fire in a big industrial building, and it just those things turn into a big pizza oven. So I wanted to say sprinklers because we know that's the answer, but I'm not sure that would be intuitive.
Well, there's no right or wrong answer for me. Hurricanes.
Debris.
Flooding.
Pollution.
Global politics.
Complex.
Is there a role in politics here? Does that make all of this more complicated?
There's a role for education and public policy. That's really important. The reality is most people, most business owners have never had to live through a major catastrophe. So the opportunity is to show what that catastrophe looks like without having to live through it. They see how fast that fire develops. They see how destructive that piece of debris can be when it hits the front of a piece of plywood on a storefront. That's when they start to think about what could happen to them. That's the kind of education that will drive public policy.
And there is something to be said for feeling the wrath of a storm firsthand, even if it's replicated inside the lab. Thumbs up. Let's go. Here comes the storm.
So we're using air pressure just like the wind would be on the roof.
Before I leave, Grizzo shows me what can happen to a roof in a windstorm.
Cranking it up a little.
Yep.
We're standing right next to the model of the rooftop.
So 60. The roof, this is 60. Okay, so 60 pounds per square foot. You can see the roof starting to billow up a little bit.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
You see that it's still
the surface
fastened
is starting
down
to rise
center.
Up. Yeah.
Yeah, but it's still it's coming up. We're going to crank up the wind on it a little bit more.
Oh, it's coming up more.
Now it's really billowing up.
Oh, jeez. Failure, huh?
A little bit.
Okay, that scared me. What just happened?
So what this is called a batten bar. It's the bar that holds the roof down.
Yeah.
That bar is lifted up, and the fasteners, the screws that go in to hold the roof
it's
to
out.
The top of that building have
yeah.
just ripped out.
Now, imagine if that was the real thing.